Welcome to Good News from the Good Book with Dr. Tim Rader, Senior Pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church, located in Kinross, Michigan. Stay with us for the next 30 minutes as we bring you a message from God's Word.
This is Dr. Tom Farrell. He travels the world, preaches the gospel. He's an independent, fundamental Baptist. He's a local church man. He's a King James Bible man. He's just our kind of guy, all the way. And I'm so glad that he's with us this morning. Dr. Farrell.
Glad for the opportunity to be here. Always look forward to coming to this fine ministry and excited about what God is doing here. Sorry my wife could not be here. I've been for the last 2 or 3 weeks gallivanting on different planes to different locations. About 85% of the time my wife travels with me, and we've been at it now for 38, 39 years in evangelism. My wife's name is Regina. The word means queen. I married her so I could be a king. Amen. Working good all these years. We have 3 children. Our oldest has been here. How many of you have met Ben Farrell? Anybody met Ben Farrell? He's been here. He said, Dad, you're going up to Fundamental Baptist. I said, yeah. He said, tell everybody I said hello. So hello. And he and his wife have 2 children. They have Clayton and Chloe. How many of you are grandparents? Let me see your hands. God bless you, bunch of old people. Good to see you in church this morning. Grandchildren are God's rewards to you for not killing your kids, and we let all of ours live, and they're bearing fruit, and we're excited about that. We do have a single daughter who's an ER nurse. She travels the world giving out the gospel through medicine. And then our last daughter's married the program director at the Wiles. Her name is Becky and Joe, and they were just at our house yesterday. They have 3. So that's our tribe, and we're excited about the opportunity we have to have children who are serving Jesus Christ. I'm praying that God is going to do supernatural work here in this ministry in the next 4 days. I said in Sunday school, it's 168 hours in the week. If you never miss a service, you're having a good attendance already. If you're back tonight through Wednesday night, you'll give back to God this week about 8% of your week. It'd be hard to tell Him one day when He gave you 100% why you couldn't give back 8%. So let's start with tonight. Will you plan to be back tonight? Preacher, I don't usually go to church on Sunday night. No problem. Just do something unusual and shock your system. You'll like it so good, you'll make a holy habit out of it. I'm going to take a vote about you coming back tonight. And I do want to warn you, if you don't come back tonight and you could come back tonight, that's your business. But I'm going to pray God will blow up your TV. I really am. So if you don't want a repair bill, be back. How many would say, by God's grace, plan to be back tonight? Would you raise your hand real high? I look forward to having you and everybody that you're going to bring in the meeting. Wednesday night, Bible prophecy night, we're looking at the future, and you want to be here for every service. Would you stand, please, for the reading and teaching of the Word of God? I'm in James chapter 4, James chapter number 4, and verse 13 and following. Go to now, you that say today or tomorrow, we're going to such a city, continue there a year, and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It's even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. But that you ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall do this and that. We shall live and do this or that. But now you rejoice in your boastings, all such rejoicing is evil. Therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. Verse 4 in the middle of the verse says, what is your life? My title text and theme for the next few moments, what is your life? Thank you. Be seated, please. Thank you, Jesus, for the opportunity to preach the Bible. If anybody's come to church but not to Christ, may this be the time and the place. They're born of the Spirit of God. Help us all to look at life from your point of view. In Jesus' name, amen. The Bible's a living book that was written by a living God, and it teaches you and me how to live life. If you study and understand the Bible speaks of 2 kinds of life, earthly life, how we got here, eternal life, how to get into heaven. If you understand your earthly life, all life has its source in God. Genesis 1:1 in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Genesis 1:27, so God created man in his image, in the image of God created he him, male and female created he them. Take 2 verses, 4 times created. That makes evolution stupidity. You and I did not evolve from something we know of previous existence. We were made in the image of a man who was made in the image of God. Ted Koppel in 1988 said on Nightline, we're now teaching in our public schools the fact of evolution. Number one, evolution is not science. That means to know. Number two, the facts that they propound are not facts. Piltdown man, Java man, Neanderthal man have all been disproved. You don't take the bone of a monkey and the tooth of a pig and have a man. That's called a mess. The missing link was never there to begin with. We were made in the image of a man, was made in the image of God. Everybody wants to talk to you about your life because you can't sell dead people anything. It's interesting, most Saturday nights when my wife and I get into town, one of the first places we go is Walmart. I think Walmart's about 150 miles from here, is it not? Somewhere in there. I remember the first time I came here, McDonald's is about 30 miles. And so I don't know where I am, but this is a wonderful place to be. I can tell you that. So we go to Walmart. We've shopped at Walmart so many times. I told her when I die, bury me at Walmart. I know you'll visit me two or three times a week. Amen. We go to the toy section and there's checkers and chess and Trivia Pursuit and a game called Life. You get to the Super Walmart and there's the different aisles of groceries and there's soap, Zest and Coast and Lifebuoy. They've got Cheerios and Wheaties and a cereal called Life. They keep changing the signs with the soft drinks. You've got a lot to live. Pepsi's got a lot to give. Coke adds Life. That'd be interesting to prove. Go down to the Undertaker, get Fred out of the cooler and pour a six-pack on him, see if he goes home. You say, preacher, don't you like soft drinks? I happen to like them. My dad pastored a little country church, and we had one of these pious guys, not very spiritual, but he was always picking a fight. Dad had a good sense of humor. I heard him one day, and he walked up my father and said, don't you think it's a sin to drink a Coke? My dad said, it sure is, sir, if you could ever get a Pepsi. Amen. You check out, they're lifesavers. There's more for your life at Sears. Everybody wants to talk to you about your life. This text asks a personal, powerful question. What's your life? First of all, what's the duration of your life? It asks and answers it in one sentence, one phrase. It's a vapor. It's a moist piece of atmosphere. You go out on a cold day here in Michigan and your hot air condenses into the cold air and it's gone. God said, that's your life. It's short. You're not going to be here long. 1 Samuel 20 and verse 3, as the Lord lives and my soul lives, says David, there's one step between me and death. Job 7, 8 and 9, my days upon earth are swifter than a weaver's shuttle. They're spent without hope. Remember, my life is wind. Job 8, 9, my days upon earth are a shadow. Job 14, 1, man born of woman's a few days. You're not going to be here long. It's a very short stint. You say, I'm in good shape. I jog four times a week and work out on the alternate days and drink mineral water and I take Shackley vitamins. That's wonderful. You may die a little more healthy than the rest of us. But if you live to be 100 years compared to eternity, it's like a molecule of water compared to the oceans. Life is short. Life is single. You don't get two of them. You get one of them. This is not a dress rehearsal. This is not boot camp. This is the real deal. It could be this week you're going to make your exit. In 2 Samuel 12, 23, David's little boy died. He said, why should I fast? Is he going to come back to me? He said, I'll go to him. There's not a second chance to live life. 2 Samuel 14, 14, we must needs die. We're like water spilt upon the ground that cannot be gathered again. Who can believe we're in May of 2016 and you can't get one day of January, February, March, or April back? It's gone. Hebrews 9, 27, it's appointed any man once to die. And after this, the judgment. Your heart pumps and rests and says to your mind, to die, to die, to die. And it makes no difference who you are. Death is on your trail and will one day overtake you. She was the president's wife, but Nancy Reagan died. One of the longest sitting Supreme Court justices, but Scalia died. He was the first man to walk on the moon, but Armstrong died, and you are going to die. And God is trying to get your attention this morning, not just about the beauty and bounty of life, but the brevity. What's your life? It's a vapor. Not only what's the duration of your life, but what's the declaration of your life? For he says here that the people are bragging. They're, and he says, you go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow, we'll go into such a city and buy and sell and get gain. Sounds a whole lot like Americans. We will, we will, we will. Pride, presumption. The Bible says, don't boast yourself of tomorrow. You don't know what a day may bring forth. Who knows that you're going to get out of bed tomorrow? Who knows that you're going to live another year? How can you guarantee that you're going to make a profit? They were not living life exalting God. They were living life exempting God. And James rebukes them. He said, you ought to say, if the Lord wills. Every day you get up, you're either saying, I will or he will. My will or what he wants. Every single solitary day. Two completely different men living two completely different lives. One's unnamed. He was a very rich farmer, and he didn't even consider the harvest that came in from God. He said, what am I going to do? I'm going to tear these little barns down, big barns, and I'll say, eat, drink, and be merry. Tomorrow you may die. Jesus said, this night your soul's required of you. Look around, sir, and find out who's going to get all this stuff, because it's not going with you. When Alexander the Great was dying, he said to a friend, bury me with my hands outside the casket. I want the world to know that's how everybody leaves life. Naked came I from my mother's womb, and naked shall I return. You're not taking one thing with you. Not a thing is going. What a foolish way to live life, and God called him a fool. A fool plans for this life but doesn't get ready for the second. Paul was completely different. He said, for me to live is Christ. To die is gain. I talk and thrill and toil for Christ, and when I die, it's more Christ, and gain is interest paid on money. Your life is like money, ladies and gentlemen. You can spend it, you pay for eternity. But you can invest it, and he pays you for eternity. Now, if you're going to live the Christ-like life, then you're going to live a life of serving Jesus, because Jesus said in Luke 22:27, I'm among you as he that serves. A servant takes his God-given life, and he doesn't pour it out, he pours it into people. Let's go back to January 1 and come up to this morning, and let's let your life be a gallon jug of water. And since January 1, you've been pouring it out or into. Who's been saved because of your life? Who's been discipled? Who's walking with God? Who loves the Lord Jesus Christ because of what you have been doing in their lives in the last 4 months? Psalm 211 says, serve the Lord with fear. It doesn't mean you quake. It means you respect God so much that he's first. Psalm 100 and verse 2, serve the Lord with gladness. Is it a privilege to have a four-day meeting this week, or a problem and a pain to you? Psalmist said, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go in the house of the Lord. When Daniel was 80 years old in chapter 6, the king is going to put him in the lion's den. He says, Daniel, the God you serve continually. What a testimony. What a testimony. Do your neighbors know that you serve God continually? Do your co-workers and people you go to school with? In Matthew 4:10, you shall worship the Lord, and him only you shall serve. In Matthew 6:24, no man can serve two masters. He'll hate one, love the other, hold the one, despise the other. Do you realize if you're saved, there's only two kinds of Christians sitting here this morning, just two. There are committed Christians and carnal Christians, and that is it. No, preacher, I'm not committed, I'm not carnal, I'm in the middle. Where did you find it? Jesus didn't say no man can serve three masters. He said no man can serve two. Now, there's only two choices in eternity. There's heaven and there's hell. A man comes to church this morning. He's not saved. He hears the gospel. He understands. He says, not now. He goes home and he drops dead. You say, preacher, that doesn't happen. It happened in Charleston, South Carolina. I shook his hand at the door and he was dead at 2:30. And it could happen here. And ladies and gentlemen, because you go to church doesn't mean you go to heaven. There is a decision to make, and there's only two choices. There's a Christian life to live, and there's only two choices. Galatians 5:13, wherefore by love serve one another. Romans 12:11, not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. I was preaching in a Midwestern city, and the pastor took me to lunch. He said, let me tell you what happened on Sunday night at our church. He said, the richest man in town showed up. High-flying lawyer, big spread of a farm, best cars in town, best house, shows up, wants to give a testimony, tells me what he wants to say. He said, I want you to tell our people. He said he got up, looked at our folks and said, you know who I am, but you don't know what's happened to me. He said, just a few weeks ago, I had a heart attack and God got my attention. You may not be listening this morning, but God can arrange a hearing for you. And he said, when I woke up from 5 bypasses of surgery, the first thought that came to my mind is, I'm not ready to die. I'm not ready to meet God. Prepare to meet your God. Everybody's going to meet him. Everybody's going to meet him. He said, when I was a little boy, I heard the gospel and I didn't receive Christ. But he said, laying on that bed, I opened my heart and got saved. And he said, God's changed my life and I just want to do some things that have eternal value to them. And the pastor said our people were moved and blessed. And he got out and gave money and started telling people about Jesus. And it went on for 3 weeks. And he dropped dead. The total of his life was 3 weeks that counted for eternity. If you die today, how much of your life is counted? What's the duration of your life? It's short and single. What's the declaration of your life? I will or he will. And then what's the destination of your life? You're going to die. You don't have any choice in the matter. It's on a calendar. It's an appointment you can't cancel. And then you're going to meet God. Are you ready to meet him? Take your Bible in closing. Go to Matthew chapter 7. The Bible teaches there are two destinies of man, and God is so loving and kind, he lets you make the choice. Away with this theology. God chooses some to go to heaven and some to go to hell. It didn't come out of the Bible. If you die and go to hell, it'll be your fault every day that you're there, and you won't hate God, you will hate yourself. In Matthew chapter 7, Jesus said, "Enter ye at the straight gate." Verse 13, "For wide is the gate, broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. Many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate and narrow is the way that leadeth to life, and few there be that find it." Ladies and gentlemen, Jesus was playing two doors, two roads, two destinies of man. There is a heaven, God wants you there. There is a hell, God does not want you there. But preacher, I went to church and they told me about purgatory. They lied to you. I am happy to give anybody, including the Pope, $1 million to prove from one verse of Scripture anywhere in the Bible a literal place called purgatory where a person goes when they die. They stay a while. They get their sins purged, thus the place of purging, and they get out. Line 1, paragraph 1, page 1, Knights of Columbus, and I quote, "We realize that the Bible never teaches purgatory anywhere. Then they ought to stop teaching a lie. There's a heaven and a hell, and that's it." And Jesus said, "Enter the straight gate." What's he saying? You're already on the broad road. You don't have to do anything to get on this road. You're born there. Psalm 58:3, "The wicked are estranged from the womb. They go astray as soon as they're born." You will not accidentally get on this road. There will be a time and a place when you choose to repent of your sin and receive Jesus Christ. What is this road like? The majority of people on it. You want to be in a majority? You already are. Is there a lot of glitz and glamour? Sure is. But you have to realize there's a sudden dead end that drops you straight into a literal place called hell. You say, "Preacher, I don't believe in hell." You will the first second you're there. And Jesus doesn't want you there. You have to understand today, good friend, that you're a body and a soul. Technically, you're a soul with a body. And when you die, it's not cessation and annihilation, it's separation. Luke 16:23, "The rich man also died and was buried, and in hell he." Now, how did he get to hell if he died? Because his body was buried, but his soul went to hell. He lifted up his eyes, being in torments. He seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, "Father Abraham, have mercy upon me and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tortured, tormented in this flame." Abraham said, "Son, remember." If you die without Jesus Christ, you're going to remember who preached this Sunday morning, because you're going to hear it repeatedly. You're going to remember where you sat. You're going to remember that you snickered or put your head down, tried not to hear, and couldn't wait for the service to be over. You're going to remember everything about it, but you can't do anything about it. What a tragedy. Hell's a real place with real people experiencing real pain, not temporarily, but eternally. Somebody said, "You believe hell has fire." I quote Jesus, Mark 9:43. If your hand offends you, cut it off. Be better if you go in the kingdom of heaven maimed than having two hands to go to hell. Into the fire that shall never be quenched, where the worm dies not, as the fire is not quenched. If your foot offends you, cut it off. Be better if you go in the kingdom of heaven whole than having 2 feet to go to hell. Into the fire that shall never be quenched, where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. If your eye offends you, pluck it out. Be better if you go in the kingdom of heaven with one eye than having 2 eyes to go to hell. Into the fire that shall never be quenched, where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. Jesus, who made hell, said 6 times, hell has fire. And if hell has no fire, God's a liar. Stand up, walk out, throw your Bible away, and go get sot drunk. But God is telling the truth. And He's telling a truth out of a heart of love for you so that you do not go there. 9/11 took place, and 18 days later we were there for a one-night crusade. The audience was packed and people got saved. That morning I went to Ground Zero and I saw in person what you think you saw on television was nothing like what I saw on television. I kept saying, why the fire trucks? And they said, every time we move the rubble, fire is underneath it. We have to put it out. I said to people who had gone in and rescued some people out of the Twin Trade Towers, how hot was it? The estimates are 12,000 to 14,000 degrees. Your mind doesn't even consider that. Why would well-dressed, smart, intelligent people die from 100 stories when they knew they were going to die? Because they were not sitting in a nice Sunday morning service saying this will be over in a few minutes. They were incarcerated with flames, and though they knew they were going to die, they did not want to burn. Do you realize, ladies and gentlemen, if you go to hell, there's no rescue operator coming your way. There's no second chance or trap door. But I'm glad to announce there's a rescue operator coming your way right now. He has L-O-V on his vestments and the print of the nails in his hands, and his name is Jesus. And Jesus has done for you what you can't do for yourself and is inviting you to get off of this road and get on this road. How do you get off this road? Admit you're on it. Change your mind. It's called repent. Jesus said, except you repent, you'll perish. He didn't say, except you do penance. He said, except you repent, change your mind. You can't change your life. Have you ever believed that baby baptism is what happened when you got saved? There's no baby in the Bible that ever got baptized to go to heaven. It's a lie. Have you ever trusted church? Church is what you become a part of after you get saved. It doesn't save you. Have you ever trusted some work? It's not by works of righteousness which we have done, but His mercy, He saved us. And it's my responsibility to tell you all over this building, you don't have a little talk with Jesus, and you don't have a little sermonette and have a little ideology. You come to a place in life when you know you can't and He can, and you don't want your sin. And then He said, repent and believe the gospel. The word believe doesn't mean just agree that there is a God. It doesn't mean just to agree that Jesus died, was buried, and resurrected. Satan believes that. It means that by faith you come to Jesus Christ, the only God, not one among many. And you believe that this God, in the person of Jesus in a human body, loves you, died for you, was buried for you, was raised again for you. This is historical. This is personal. This is the past. This is reality. And there's a lot of people that'll go to hell with a historical Jesus who've never had a personal life-changing encounter with a God of the Bible. And the Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. One man told me, he said, I always pray with every preacher. I'm just making sure I'm tagging all the bases. I said, sir, you're not even in the ballpark. You don't tag bases with Jesus. There's a change of mind. God changes your life. There's a total confidence in who He is and what He's done. And there's a personal invitation that you receive and you invite Him to come and live in your life. And whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And the question is today, has that ever happened? Does it ever happen to you? My mother said, your mother did not write the book of life. And she will not stand up for you at the great white throne judgment. Well, I've always felt your feelings don't count. Your faith does. Can you prove from the Word of God that you've been born again by the Spirit of God? I was preaching in a southern city, and a guy who'd been a deacon came between Sunday school and church to remember me. I said, I sure do, Larry. Sometimes give you a testimony. He said, remember the night I got saved? I said, I do. Larry was a Lutheran who became a Baptist, and they made him a deacon, but he'd never been saved. Deacons, Sunday school teachers, choir directors, evangelists, pastors, and PhDs go to hell. The only person that goes to heaven is those who go to Jesus by faith. And he told the pastor, he said, before you came, I was made a deacon, but I never got saved. Took me out to play golf. He said, when I get to heaven, I'm going to shout and give God glory all eternity, but I'm going to put in a word for you. I said, you are? He said, I'm going to thank Jesus. Somebody came to town and told me the difference between religion and a relationship. You got to be born again. He was a pastor. He said in the Friday night service, Saturday night service, I knew him. I'd been in his church. Saturday night, he said, you and the pastor wait for me. I got to take my wife home. And he came back. He walked in, looked at me, and said, Dr. Farrell, I need to be saved. I said, what? He said, I need to be saved. He said, some years ago, my wife and I came to the church. She said, I want to be saved. We went to the parsonage. The pastor took his Bible and opened it and started talking to my wife. He just thought I was okay. And my pride, like a mule, welled up inside of me. I said, if he didn't know, I won't tell him. He said, she got saved, I didn't, but we both got baptized. She was saved and I was lost. We both joined the church. She was saved and I was lost. We both later started teaching Sunday school. She was saved and I was lost. He said, I went to Bible college for a while and took correspondence. And he said, I've cried myself to sleep, but I was too proud to admit I was lost. He said, I want to be saved. And he dropped down on his knees and I got next to him and he trusted Christ. He said, go home with me to tell my wife. He looked her straight in the face. He said, you now have a saved Baptist preacher for a husband. And she wasn't even shocked. Some of you think you've covered everything, playing your religious game. Good friend, game's over permanently when you go to hell. Don't you play with God. I hear people say, I just need assurance. You can't get assurance for something that never happened. You only get assurance when you've been saved by the grace of God. I hear people say, I need to rededicate. They've rededicated 47 times, still don't know they're going to heaven. It's not rededication. It's regeneration that saves a man. Have you been born again? Can you prove from your Bible that you're a child of God? Let's suppose today as I close this message that Jesus walked in a human body. He's been present. Well, let's suppose he walked in a human body and he walked up here. I'll tell you what all of us will do. We'll kneel. Now here Jesus said, all right, be seated. And so I go and sit down. And he doesn't bring Bible truth hymns. He brings the book of life. Whoever's not found written is in the book of life is cast in the lake of fire. You can say anything you want with a raised hand, but either your name is or is not in the book of life. He opens the book of life and says, today I'm going to read the names of everybody at Fundamental Baptist Church that's really born again. If I call your name Stan, I'm taking you to heaven today. If I do not call your name and you're still sitting when we're done, you're going to hell from this church. First name is called, an elderly man stands. You hear him say, thank you, Jesus. Second name, a recently saved teenager. Thank you, Jesus. You've been sitting there saying, but my parents always told me I was going to heaven, but I've done the best I can. But if anybody's good, I pay my taxes, but you just don't hear your name. People are standing up all around you, but you don't hear your name. And finally, the last name is called and the book is closed. Did Jesus call your name? Can you prove from this book that your name is in the book of life? If you just said no or I don't know, friend, today is your day to pass from death into life. And then you'll be able to answer the question, what is your life?
We have a fine K-12 academy here on the campus of Fundamental Baptist Church in Kinross, Michigan. It is highly academic and Christ-centered. If you have a child or even a grandchild, we invite you to check us out at fbconline.net. Maybe you would like scholarship, a needy student. So please contact us at 906-495-5200. The website is fbconline.net. You can help us reach the next generation by training champions for Christ.